Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, you gotta eat, we gotta eat. Let's all eat things that we find on our iPad app.
I'm ready. Plus Mavericks on an iPad Air, a better way to search the App Store. And who needs autocorrect when you got Flexi?
All that. And how about we take a walk through the solar system?
Ooh.
On iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/iPad today. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. Welcome to iPad Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Sarah Lane. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How's it going?
This is the show where we kind of show you all sorts of cool stuff you can do with an iPad.
Correct.
I love doing the show because the iPad is such a great tool, and there's so many great apps.
So many.
And, you know, I just the other day was cooking veal piccata.
Were you?
And, of course, what do you do when you're in the kitchen? You don't have a recipe. It's not in many of my cookbooks. I went to Epicurious on the iPad, propped it up right there. That's my cookbook. It is a perfect kitchen computer.
You know, the two of us, obviously, are both fans of food
mm-hmm.
and the culinary arts.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, we've talked quite a bit about recipe apps on iPad Today. Mine has always been, and kind of remains, How to Cook Everything.
Mark Bittman.
Which is Mark Bittman joint.
Excellent. I still love it.
It's great.
Yes.
It's not a very visual app. In fact, it's probably more closely related to a recipe book that doesn't have a lot of pictures than anything else, but it's just very full-featured. However, we really haven't talked about food in a while, and there are new apps that are definitely on the scene.
I'm ready.
That I thought we should talk about. You know, the first app is called Goji, and you might say, well, hold on a second. Haven't we talked about this in the past, Sarah? And the answer is yes, we have, except that Goji, the company, after we talked about it a couple of times, and I gave it lots of praise on iPad Today, sort of pivoted into a food plus flash sale shopping clothing thing.
Yeah, clothing?
Kind of, yeah.
Weird.
I opened it one day like, hey, you know, I'm going to get some new recipe or whatever, and I was very confused. The app was extremely different. Well, the company, they say, by popular demand, has decided to bring it back. So this, at least the Goji food and drink recipe app, is as it was before, but it's actually even better than it used to look. Okay, so the nice thing about Goji is that it says, all right, well, you got food and you got drinks. So, you know, if you're interested in making a drink that's somewhat complicated, more than a couple of recipes, you've got that too. But so if you go to the drink section, you know, hot spice drunken apple cider, lots of photos. You can see that 250 people already liked this, so I could say, oh, that sounds like it's pretty popular. Maybe that's, you know, good for, it seems more like a winter drink, but I guess it's still cold in a lot of places. So then I can click on the full recipe, and then I've got basically a modified browser. And the nice thing about this is that what Goji does is it's curating from a bunch of cool food blogs that already exist on the internet. So Food52 is a blog that I've never heard of, but maybe you have if you follow a lot of food blogs. And this is pretty much the original place where the recipe came from. So it's a nice way to get a little bit of information from a bunch of different bloggers. Like Greek stuffed eggplant. Hello, I want that.
Hello.
Hello, sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and save that for myself. What I can do is I can look at the full recipe. I can look at things that are like this. So if I'm a vegetarian or whatever, and I think, ooh, Greek stuffed eggplant sounds great. Let's see more things that are like this. Then I've got, you know, well, this is probably going to go more into the Greek categories.
Moussaka,
yeah.
Love it.
Then the veggie categories.
That's actually, a moussaka is a good, I use it as a way to test cookbooks and cooking apps.
Oh, really?
Because there's many, many ways to make it. It's basically a Greek shepherd's pie with lamb. It's spicy. It's curry. But it's like lasagna. Lasagna would be another good one. There's so many ways to make it that I think you can learn a lot about the style, the attitude of the cookbook based on what they recommend you do.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Doesn't it? This is called the Graham Burger. Yeah. It's from Serious Eats. And
no question the pictures are good in this.
Yes. So if I'm like, all right, I'm ready to make some pelmeni. Okay, that sounds good. Let's just go. So what's nice is that
it tells you what you need right away.
Yeah, so nice, if you're just like, what's going on here? And you say, I don't know. Maybe I could put that together. Maybe I need to buy some bay leaves at the store. Now let's go and look at the full recipe. And then I get a walkthrough from Sassy Radish.
So are these are all different, like, blogs or something?
Exactly.
Okay.
So this is
an aggregator.
It's almost as if I've put together a really nice RSS feed for myself.
I'm going to have to get
on
this.
People who make who publish recipes about food and drinks, but I didn't do any of that work. Then of course you can do collections, which is,
but you got to be careful, I feel, picking up recipes from the web, because some people aren't good cooks.
That's true.
And they shouldn't have a food blog.
That's
so, but if you're a good cook, you know you can look at a recipe and know.
I think anybody who's, listen, if you don't cook at all, then trial and error is the only way to get into it. If you know a thing or two about cooking and you're looking for different recipes and wanting to compare, you know, like there's certain like macaroni and or bean dishes that I think I'm pretty good at, and I'll look at someone else's recipe
exactly.
And I'm like, now you're missing some key ingredients there.
You're putting your acid in before the beans are cooked.
Yeah,
things like that.
It's gonna get weird. So then you can do your own filtering. But I love the idea of the collections. Yeah, I've got to host a potluck for my potluck group later this month. And, you know, you don't go crazy, but I want to put something together that's going to impress people and make people think that I know what I'm doing. So this is when I say, all right, so let's look at something.
Get dusted.
Like these desserts that I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know how to make flourless chocolate cake with blood orange sauce. But I bet it's not that hard, right? You don't even need that many ingredients.
Oh, baby.
And then when I feed that to my friends, then everyone loves me.
You know what I really like? They show the ingredients right there.
Yeah.
So you know if you have a shot at this or just forget about it. Like blood oranges. Do you know if you can get blood oranges? If you can't, there's no point in even thinking about
that. It's not the recipe for you. You know, or you say, oh, I know somebody who's allergic to whatever.
If I see a recipe that calls for Campbell's cream of mushroom soup in it, pretty much I know I'm not going to take that person's recipes anymore. I'm done with that person.
Because
that's nothing wrong with that.
It's just a certain kind of cooking
it's not what I'm looking for.
Here. Right.
Yeah.
And so there you go. So this is Goji. It's great. I love it. I love it very much. And I liked the old app. And in fact, there were a couple people that I converted over to it. I was like, this is the best app.
And then they
said,
selling clothes.
And they said, it's changed about that app. And I was like, I don't know what this company is doing.
G-O-J-E-E. E-E.
Yeah. And it's completely free.
That's great.
And as you can see in the liner notes, right under description, it says, by popular demand, Goji's award-winning food app is back in the App Store. So, good. Glad to hear it.
I often go to the grocery store without a plan. Not a good idea, of course.
I never have a plan either.
But it happens. And then I'll look and I'll see what's good and fresh. And then I'll say, well, gosh, I wish I had the recipe. So what I carry with me on my phone, on my iPad, everywhere I go is Big Oven. Do you know Big Oven? This is probably the largest recipe collection there. And the reason I think it's important to pay attention to whether a recipe is good or not is it's got recipes from everywhere. So it's free. It's, as you can see, it's ad-supported. It has 250,000 recipes in here.
Holy crap.
So, for instance, I said, all right, I'm going to make... I see some beautiful veal in the butcher's cabinet there. Should I make veal piccata? Let me see. And I enter veal piccata. And let me see. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know if we're going to get to the end of this. There are literally 15 or 20 veal piccata recipes. So, but that's good because they're rated by stars. You could see the source. I ended up choosing one from Gourmet Magazine because I figure I know that that's going to be a good source. But they're from all over. Here's a dessert, veal piccata pie. I don't know if that's the one I want to make. But you see, and it's not a specially wonderful presentation. Boy, I'm really not thrilled by all the Kraft ads I'm getting in here. They've got a Kraft takeover on here. But I can look at the recipe, see what I need, and then one thing you also find when you have so many to choose from, you can look at several and say, oh yeah, there's just certain things they all have. You got to have lemon and white wine, for instance. Some have capers, some don't. So you can figure out what you want to do. Tony's Lemony Veal Piccata. That sounds good. So this is big oven. It is free. You can, of course, I could put it in a food plan so I can make a food plan. The membership's free. I haven't logged in, but I have a membership. You could save favorite recipes. That's why I joined, so I'd have the recipes I make a lot all the time. You can even make a shopping list with this, which is awesome. I use Epicurious a lot. I use Mark Bittman's app a lot.
Yep.
But when I'm looking to, when I'm at the grocery store and I want 100 recipes for something, anything, I usually fire up Big Oven. Well, I like it a lot.
250,000 recipes.
That's pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's sure, they're not all going to be what you want, but you've got strength in numbers
and
there.
And this is maybe important for some of our viewers. You have the choice of imperial or metric measurements. So all the recipes, this is not pulling up from a blog where you just would have the recipe and whatever measurement they used.
Right.
All the recipes are entered into a database, and they can convert into milliliters, liters, or ounces. So you can have imperial or metric, and I think that for some of our audience, that's important. These ads are not so good. This is something new. Well, they've had, Kraft really... It's everywhere. Maybe if I just bought some Kraft macaroni and cheese, they'd stop bugging me. I don't know. Maybe if I logged in,
it's sort of ironic, too. That's like, have some Kraft singles.
The last thing anybody who's cooking veal piccata wants is Kraft singles.
Well, I...
Big oven.
It's funny that you mention metric and imperial measuring.
Why is that?
Because for some time... I did not realize that I had the option in my How to Cook Everything app to convert away from metric because I don't understand metric anything. I'm just like,
well, and none of our
doesn't mean anything.
Who has milliliter measuring cups?
Well, exactly.
Right?
So what I would do is I'd be like, okay, Mark Bittman, who I love and respect, from afar. Okay, he says that I need, like a certain amount of milliliters. And so I'd be like, let me convert on Google. And, it was ridiculous. And finally I realized in my settings it was just this little thing that I just toggle.
That's a good thing to know.
It took me a few months to figure out that I could change that really easily in my settings. And I felt really stupid. But I learned a little bit about metric stuff, but I've forgotten it since then.
The other thing I look for when I cook, this is not a cooking show, but I'll just pass along a little tip. When I bake, I always use weight, not volume. So I'll measure my flour in grams. So if you have a scale, it's a good way to go. But you'll also want an app, and Bittman will do this, a good app, especially for baking, that will give you weights, not volumetric measurements. And you should be able to shift over to that, grams instead of, say, ounces of liquid.
And that just is more precise?
It is. Well, flour is a really good, and this is why it happens with baking most often. Flour is a very good example. A cup of flour... can be very different amounts depending on how packed the flour is. Sometimes it's like sift it first. But if you weigh it, it's always the same amount. So when I bake, which I had to stop doing because my doctor said no more baking. But, no, I didn't. But he said you shouldn't eat that loaf of bread anymore.
Oh.
Wait, when you bake there's nothing like fresh out of the oven. Slather that with butter.
Or leftover pizza. That's what I had for breakfast this morning, and then I had it for lunch.
You're a sad, lonely person.
I'm a sad, lonely woman. Childless, too.
Actually, that doesn't mean anything. Cold pizza goes with teenagers. When the kids were growing up, you could have cold pizza for breakfast every day if you wanted. Every day.
I don't see why I should stop. It's so good. It's good gourmet pizza.
Do you want me to show one more thing, or do you have another one?
No, but you go ahead.
And I mentioned this before, but I just want to show you because it's so dang good. This is Cooks Illustrated, which if you are a cook and you love cooking and you don't subscribe to this magazine, you should. Of course, there's a paper version, but this is in the newsstand at Apple. They have a free offer right now. You can get a complete I think it's the March April edition. This is, only comes out six times a year, so, but it is wonderful, and they've done a lot to make the iPad app even better. So they, see, there's a free trial. This is Christopher Kimball created, and the idea is he takes no advertising. They test everything. They became famous because they would do the best recipe, the best Thanksgiving turkey. They've always had this in the.
It's like the wire cutter before there was a wire cutter.
Yeah, they've always had this in the magazine, so you can learn a lot of skills directly from it. You know how to roll out single serve steel cut oats, soggy free PB&J, keeping salad greens fresh. There's every issue. Has some really useful little things. But then, and we should go back to the front page, but you'll see there are usually a dozen or so recipes. Notice not color, but what they've done on the main recipe, they've got a lot of detail. They've got video. They've got how-tos. I'll see if I can find the one of the main ones in this month. I just got this month. So here's essential sauces for the modern cook and how to make them. This is I get in bed and read this magazine. And then I get out of bed and I make it. So it's a good magazine. I everybody should. Oh my gosh. Oh, how to make okay, so they will taste every scone recipe
It got
color.
Yeah.
This is one of the main ones then.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
So American scone, British scone, differences. You see how much text there is? That's because they're talking about things that you need to know when a second roll doesn't produce second best. Why would you roll it twice? That kind of thing. I mean, they just, this is, and there is some content
and rich American
that is specific to the iPad that you wouldn't get in the printed version.
Fluffy and tender texture that's more akin to cake. Start by preheating the oven to 500 degrees.
So, I won't go on and on, but get the free test trial issue. I'm a big fan of Cook's Illustrated, and frankly, I stopped getting the paper magazine because it's actually so good on the iPad. And as I said, the iPad, get a good stand because the iPad is a really good kitchen computer. The truth about orange juice. The truth, finally. And they rate the best. These are all the orange juices.
Oh.
And it's like Consumer Reports for people who like to eat.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
But it's really good. I mean, this is these guys really do it up. So I can't recommend it more highly. I know we've mentioned this before, and you still haven't subscribed, so it's driving me crazy. So
Cook's Illustrated.
Cook's Illustrated.
Cook's Illustrated. I'm writing it down in my notes right now because I actually do not subscribe, but I'm going to.
A colander.
Because I need...
This would get you excited about cooking again. You'd stop eating cold pizza.
I'm excited about it. I just get very tired sometimes.
Do you know what the best colander is? I don't, but that's why...
The one that's in your kitchen.
They tested all the colanders.
No, I've never thought to do that.
Is that wild?
I have that kind, and they said not recommended.
Oh.
And they've got probably some good reasons why not.
Recommended. Let's see. This is highly recommended. Maybe this delicious... $26 colander.
It's probably
that's the one I have. The OXO.
There are so many smaller little. It's better to
OXO.
Drain.
Get everything OXO.
I know.
You
they're
can't
pretty
go
great.
Wrong.
They're pretty great.
Best colander ever. This is the one I use. Anyway, what? So you have the Reston Lloyd?
Yeah, it's a.
Well, look at the holes are too big. It's obvious.
Well, but it looked cute when I bought it.
It allowed a whopping half cup of orzo to completely escape. It's not dishwasher safe. Requires vigorous scrubbing to remove stuck on bits of pasta.
It's all of that is true.
All true.
All of that is completely true. It's a nightmare.
Honey, I'm going to get you an OXO.
We learned something today. So, Leo, I don't know if you're familiar with this app. I'm going to guess that you're not because you probably would have talked about it. But I know how fond you are of Julia Child.
I love Julia Child.
Thought you'd say that.
I
so
know.
There is actually Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Is it an app?
Julia Child.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I know. I knew you were going to be excited about
it.
It's the real thing.
Good golly.
Now, it's not every single recipe that is
Yeah, because that's a three-volume set.
Right. It's not every recipe, but it's many recipes. So if we go ahead and say...
Of course, I have the three-volume set.
Of course you do. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Let's, you know, you want to make
your
own mayonnaise?
Does this have any of the TV show? Oh, I always make my own mayonnaise. You don't buy store-bought mayonnaise, do you?
I don't really eat a lot of mayonnaise. But
oh,
but
I do. You would if you made it.
Well, you know, I've made aioli once in a while.
Yeah, well, that's mayonnaise. That's the same thing.
Yeah, so you've got your...
It's emulsion of eggs and oil, you know.
There you go, yeah. Egg yolk and oil sauce. Mm. And it's all about, you know, the tools and hand-beating it. Recipe intro, you've got that here. Here's the, you know, the introduction, right? Then you've got additional information and variations. This is all extremely easy to understand.
See, so I have the books, but they're stained. Oh, that's just how you pronounce it. I have the books, but they're stained, and I have a cookbook stand and everything. But this just seems like the iPad is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, they have video.
They do.
Why make your own mayonnaise? Because it tastes so good. It's fresh lemons, fresh eggs, good fresh oil, and it's so easy to make in one of these machines.
If you have a Cuisinart.
Once you've made your own, you'll never go back to store-bought. Now, I have in this machine one whole egg and two egg
She's
yolks.
She's just very enthusiastic.
I love her so much. She is a character. And the reason you know that I love her is because I told everybody, watch, it's on YouTube, Julia Child teaching you how to roast a chicken. It is not only funny, it is an example of true on-air talent. Never trained, but her passion and enthusiasm just comes through.
Totally.
And she would never be on TV today. Television networks, they would never let her on.
Doesn't work that way.
Yep.
So this is really
cool.
This
is great. I'm buying it right now.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It is, did I write this down, how much it was? Why do I never do that, Brian?
I think it was $5. It wasn't expensive. I just bought it. $4.99, right?
Yeah, there you go. $5.
I just bought it. It was well worth it.
So, yeah, you can look through actual videos if you just want to look at the videos, if you want to,
So there's a lot of videos.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. And then you know, of course, the recipes, there are quite a bit more of those. You can go ahead and search for something specific, right, if you want to, I don't know.
She would be a YouTube star. And, in fact, much of this stuff is on YouTube, by the way. I mean, it was all on public television.
Of course, I'm like, search for fettuccine, and it's like, Sarah, French cooking. Think French cooking.
French. You'd do better off if you search for coq au vin.
Yeah, right?
I'm making that tonight.
Really?
Yep. Oh, coquille Saint-Jacques.
There you go.
Scallops. That's the most wonderful. Oh, la Parisienne.
Doesn't that look good?
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us how, Julia.
Oh.
If you're looking for scallops in your fish market, you'll probably find three different kinds. These are the little New England Bay scallops. Sweet as a nut. Always very expensive. And these are the great...
Don't you just want to watch.
And here's the nice thing about, I feel like, even that extremely dated video.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't
because
matter.
All you're learning is technique.
It's the content.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the passion.
Right.
And the joy she has in all that. It's
That's
so
right.
wonderful.
That's
love
right.
It.
I know. It's good stuff.
She's fabulous.
So, hey, we've got Goji Big Oven, which is great for recipes, Cooks Illustrated, and then you've got Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Four apps that... Well, Goji, I guess we technically have covered on the show before, and you've definitely mentioned Cooks.
Oh, I mention Cooks all the time.
But we really haven't talked about food in a while.
No.
And
you can see we both love doing cooking.
Right. That's all I really want to do is eat, and then I need to recharge and sleep sometimes.
Cook, eat, and sleep.
Cook, eat, and sleep. Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully that helped. And if you have any other ideas, of course, please do send them to iPadToday@twit.tv. Of course, if you want to go over the show again, or maybe say, you know what, they talked about some cool apps. I don't really remember what they were, but just watch the show. Leo and Sarah are such cool people. You can send them to twit.tv/IPT. You don't have to call us cool. You can say that we're awful, but that we still have really great ideas, and that would be fine, too.
We don't care.
Just whatever. You can hate watch us. I'm totally fine with that.
I think there actually are people who do that.
Not this show.
Everybody loves this show, but there are.
There's some hate watching going on.
I like that. Is that? Did you just make that up?
No, I did not make up that term.
I think that sounds like a lot of the internet.
That's like me when I watch Newsroom.
Yeah,
that's a hate watch.
I can't even bring myself to watch it.
Well, it's
But I know what you mean. If you're watching it, you're hating it.
Sure. But it's like, if you're hate-watching us, we still somehow provide a sliver of entertainment. And that's a joke.
You'll learn things like hate-watch.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to watch us live, we're actually not recording this specific show live because I'm going to be...
You mean you aren't really here?
I am a ghost.
Yeah.
I am omnipresent. I am everywhere. I am a hologram and a robot. So if you would like to watch us live next week when I am back in the studio.
Stepford host.
12:30 p.m. Pacific time on Monday, 3:30 Eastern time on Mondays. And thanks to everybody for watching.
Oh,
we're not, we're
I'm sorry.
We're
did,
not
the
done.
Did your computer program run out?
Yeah.
It's like... Our show today brought to you by Personal Capital. She's going to loop in a moment, so we got to get going here. With Personal Capital, I love this. In fact, you may have seen its founder, Bill Harris, introduce Personal Capital to us a couple of years ago on triangulation. He came in. He was one of the CEOs of Intuit, a CEO at PayPal. Knows a lot about finance, about money. We talked about money. But he said, you know, you got to try this thing, Personal Capital. I did, and I love it. The problem is, if you're over the age of 18, you probably have a complicated financial life. Bank accounts, credit cards, maybe you've got a car loan or a house loan. And they're all on different sites with different passwords. I'm hoping, you said last show that you have a 401k. That's good. You're planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you have a little retirement planning. Maybe you have some investments. All that's great, but you cannot do the planning without having a view of what you've got. And Personal Capital does that. It gives you a beautiful single screen, real-time, intuitive graphical interface to your money so you know what you got. And then it will pinpoint if you're paying too much in fees, if you're getting bad investment advice. It'll give you investment advice on how you can allocate your assets to guarantee you'll have money when you retire. You shouldn't wait to do this. I don't care if you're just, you know, coming out of college. Now's the time to start planning for it. They even have a great investment checkup and, of course, the mobile apps and desktop apps, too. Personal Capital. You know, I didn't mention, this is free. Cost you nothing. PersonalCapital.com/iPad today. PersonalCapital.com/iPad today. It's the smart way to grow your money. Start planning for your future now. Sooner you start,
the better off you'll be.
It's true.
You see those graphs of how exponentially much more
earlier.
Money, that you have.
We're having a 401k meeting at Twit in I think next week.
Oh
with
yeah,
our HR, and you know, Lisa said we don't have to do this because everybody knows. And I said I don't know. When I was young, I wish somebody had kind of bonked me on the head, said put just a little bit away. Put a little bit away. Mm-hmm. Money, baby.
Money, baby.
Money, money, money. Makes the world go round.
That's,
The robot is back.
I understand.
Sarah Robot. Sarah.
I understand pop culture references.
Pop culture. I am hip.
I am
and
here.
With it.
Hip with it. Okay, so Gabe in Miami Beach pointed us to, we mentioned earlier on the show, Mavericks on an iPad Air. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
So he pointed us to a hack over at tidbits.com.
Oh, I love Tidbits, Adam Engston Company.
That successfully, although it's quite limited, does get Mavericks, OS X Mavericks, which of course is, you know, it's OS X.
Okay, we're not recommending this. Do not do this.
No, don't do this.
It's a bad idea.
It's just interesting to see what is possible. And I think that the point of this is, and they say, you know, if you read the article, they say pretty much nothing even works.
And it wipes out your iPad.
Yeah. You'd have to restore again from something backed up. And they say, if you don't understand intricately how backups work, don't even think about attempting
this. There is a point to this exercise, though. Because Mavericks is written for Intel.
Yes.
The Intel processor. That's what's in all Macintosh computers.
Right.
But your iPad is not running an Intel processor. It's running an ARM processor. They're very, very different. The fact that you can run Mavericks on it tells us something. It tells us Apple has been quietly behind the scenes making sure that their operating system, OS X, works not just with Intel, but even as shipped, works on an ARM processor. That's kind of a shock.
I know, and it
does lend some credence to the rumors that future Mac laptops might be running on ARM chips. Mm-hmm. ARM gives you some real benefits. They're not much slower. They give you a much better battery life. And now with these A7 chips, these are, as many have pointed out, desktop class processors. You now have a processor in the iPad, in the Air, and the Mini with Retina display that is desktop class. That is good enough, more than good enough, to run a laptop. So I'm thinking Apple must be moving in that direction.
Right. Yeah. And that makes sense, that eventually you want the two operating systems to, I mean, maybe not act exactly the same on different devices, but act more alike than they do now.
It gives you a lot of flexibility,
exactly,
too. You're not tied to Intel, for one thing.
Right.
Apple
and
makes
as a developer, that's
their own
good
chips.
Too.
Yeah, A7 chips. So, yeah. Very interesting.
Kind of interesting stuff. Yeah, so definitely check out the, we'll put the article in the show notes. But yes, it's, don't try it at home unless you're like,
no,
ready
more,
to go nuts.
It's for academic,
yes, exactly,
purposes. But, you know, and I got to say, there are people out there who think this is the coolest thing ever. I remember they put Linux on an iPod. You know, remember we showed that on the screensavers. It's, people do nutty things.
Just because you can.
Because you can.
What are the limitations here? Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
So we got an email from Pam in Brisbane. That's how they say it down there.
Brisbane.
She says, since updating to iOS 7.1, I'm having real problems with iMessage. Me and you too.
Really? Only now, huh?
It keeps telling me.
Just happened.
It keeps telling me that the messages from my iPads have failed, but they've been sent. My iPhone no longer connects with my iPad. I'm not sure what that means. Has anyone else complained? Love your shows. Now that's an interesting conundrum that you're having on your iPad, because this happens on my iPhone every once in a while, where if I were to send you a text message and iMessage was down or something, I would get a it's like the little red exclamation point showing me that there was an error, but iOS 7 will send as an SMS instead.
Right.
And then it'll be a little green bubble instead of the blue one.
But it'll work eventually.
Yeah, it's basically Apple saying, like, unless you change it in settings, because you do have the option to say, no, never send as SMS, it wants your message to get through. But that would not apply. Well, I guess if you had a cellular plan, yeah, then it would apply on your iPad.
Wrong guy to ask, because iMessages has never really worked right for me. And every time I say that, everybody sends me emails saying, oh, it works great for me. You're crazy. It's a great product.
You're not
crazy. Do you love
it? No. iMessage is the worst.
Okay.
And here's the reason that it's so bad, Pam. And this, I don't know if this has anything to do with what your issues are, but I will say that it's a wonky product. And that is, messages on my iPad and my iPhone pretty much mirror each other. If I open up all of my conversations that I'm having, I'm not going to do that right now.
Pretty much is not enough. It should be 100% mirror each other.
Right. But when I look at iMessages on my Mac,
yeah,
it's a whole different story. I'll have stuff that's floated to the top that's like 2 months old for no reason. It's a mess. And that has something to do with, there's broken sync in there somewhere. So I'm not sure what's happening. And it might have to do with the cellular network that you're on, and I don't know which one that is, but
so what do you do instead? Do you, I mean, you have to use what your friends use, right?
Well, I would say the majority of the people that I'm texting also have iPhones.
Right.
Not all of them.
It works best if you're, and of course, one would expect this from Apple, if you're in 100% Apple world.
Sure.
iMessages does work pretty well.
But even then, the only real difference is that I see different color bubbles, and I say, oh, that person's on an Android phone. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I see different color bubbles too, man.
And I say, trippy life, man.
Double
man,
rainbow,
trippy
man.
Life.
So, Facebook Messenger, if your friends are on Facebook, is a good choice. You'd have to.
I must be the only person who loves Facebook Messenger.
I don't know anybody. I get a few messages.
Nobody wants to message me on Facebook Messenger, but I do think it's a good product.
WhatsApp is a great product, but you have to. But it doesn't go to SMS. The only thing I know of that goes to SMS is Apple's iMessage, or whatever they call it these days.
Messages. On the Mac, and iMessage on iOS.
Google has a similar product, Hangouts, which you can use, but then you have to, if your Apple friends will have to use it. On the Android side, it works with SMS as well.
Yeah.
It's a mess right now. It'll be solved.
The messaging wars, Facebook just bought WhatsApp.
That's why they bought WhatsApp, because they know it's broken.
It is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's good. That's the reason that people use iMessage as much as they do. What? What?
Somebody said that Tidbits article was an April Fool's joke. Check the date.
Are you serious?
Check the date.
All right.
Is it an April Fool's joke? Gosh darn it, I hate April Fool's.
Oh, my God, really?
Check the date. Oh, crud.
Oh.
Oh, you know,
hate everybody. I was so excited about that, too. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, because that came out right after.
Well, I was excited because I thought, wow, that's proof. We've thought that they were doing ARM versions.
I hate the internet sometimes. Well, all right, so fine. You can't. That's such a way. If you. Now
can we just edit that out, pretend it didn't happen?
Now, no, it's fine, because I was duped. Now I really want you to read it, though, because it wasn't even, like,
it didn't even, funny. It wasn't funny.
No, it was like, it punched you. It was like, here's why this makes a lot of sense, and then they went into
well,
the
well, you
arm
heard
versus...
what I said. I believed it.
Oh, yeah, I was in on it. Ha ha.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah.
You got me good.
All of us. Whatever. Now I'm mad.
But that's how you know, if you want April Fool's joke to propagate.
Now I don't know if Gabe was punking me, because he's the one who sent me the article.
Oh.
Gabe.
No, he fell for it, too.
I'm not going to read anything from you anymore.
I just think this is a terrible thing to do, and stop it. Adam.
Adam.
Adam Angst. The guy who tidbits, Mr. Tidbits.
Yeah.
Adam.
Don't you have anything better to do on the 1st of April? Anything at all. This is our livelihood.
I should have. My radar should have gone off.
I guess
But you see, the reason I believe it is because I trust Adam Angst. I trust Tidbits. And I thought, my God, they've actually figured this out.
Yeah.
And it did kind of make sense in the context of we've heard rumors Apple was going ARM. Of course, when you think about it, there's no way they're going to ship an ARM version of Mavericks in the basic download of Mavericks. I should have known better.
Should have known.
Normally, I cover my head on April Fool's and I don't get up.
Patrick Dahanty, who's just sitting over the next room, says, you know, at least you could take it down.
They shouldn't have left it up.
You know, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you, because then you're really just sort of confusing people like myself. Serious journalists, too. Luke4Tech on Twitter says, he actually tweeted at me. He says, FND, which I guess is pronounced find, makes it easier to quickly search and navigate the App Store and the iTunes Store in general.
Because we have complained endlessly about how bad the search is on the store.
And, you know, right before the show, you mentioned that you thought that search was magically getting better.
Yeah, I searched this morning.
I don't know that I have noticed that one way or the other.
I was in the process of preparing for the show, and I can't remember what I was searching for, but I mistyped it. Normally, when you mistype something on the iTunes Store, it's very literal. It just won't find it. And it did seem to make, and maybe I'm imagining it now, and I don't remember what it was, so I can't try it again. It seemed to say, oh, you must have meant this, even though you got the letter wrong. So, that would be a noticeable improvement. Has anybody noticed that? In the chat room, have you noticed any? It seems, and we've been begging Apple to fix this. So FND, where will we find that?
Well, Brian, do you have the link that you can pull up for us? There you go. So if you want to, I don't know.
So you do it on the web.
Right. This is actually, this is something that you could do, just on, mobile Safari or something on your iPad or anywhere, really. And then enter in whatever term you're looking for. This is actually searching all of iTunes, so kind of like the iTunes Store in general. If you look for Final Fantasy, then you've got apps, then you've got music.
No, that's nice.
And then you've got obviously movies.
Apple, just buy the damn buy these guys, please.
Well, but they did that with Chomp too, and
nothing
seemed to happen. And I think one of the co-founders of Chomp left Apple recently, so hard to say what's going on with that. But it does look. We've got the apps. We've got the Twit.
Look at that.
Twit stuff front and center, a variety of options actually. And then things get weird because.
But it doesn't do that Fakatka thing where it says only shows you the iPads or the iPhone version. Right. That's nice. Yeah. You can see both.
Exactly.
Then and look, it even found the podcast.
Yeah, in the podcast section, obviously, there's lots of us because it's all, under the Twit publisher name. But and then, of course, you've got the subscription iTunes links over on the right-hand side.
That's nice.
So,
and that would open up iTunes.
And it looks pretty good.
That's nice.
It's fnd.io.
Findio.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so if you, for whatever reason, are just sick of it all, by the way, 2048, I'm hooked. I'm hooked in a big way.
Oh, don't see
And it's all your fault.
I have a theory.
You do.
Yeah, I think you're actually, that's an NSA program, and you're solving, they figure they're going to harness all the people playing 2048, and they're going to factor prime numbers and crack cryptography.
What?
So, because you're all working for the NSA when you play this game. Stop now.
I think you are a little nutty.
Okay. Okay.
Like, how am I possibly...
You're solving...
Working for the NSA when all I do
theorem.
Is put two fours together.
Okay, maybe not. I could be wrong.
It's really fun, though. And, you know, we talked about it on this show. And
it's totally addictive.
I mentioned it on iFive, which is my iPhone app show.
I think it's better than threes.
Once a week. But you know, I got a lot of responses from people who watched
they
last week's show. And they
better.
Said, you know, that's just a clone of threes. And
it
I was
is
like,
not.
Well, but I understand it's... But it's
inspired by threes.
There you go.
But it's not a clone
I'm
of
allowed
threes.
To like a game that works slightly differently.
The rules are different. And the problem with threes is you have to start with... one and two,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to threes. Everything here is a multiple of two. Now, somebody gave me the strategy for this. You're always, Chad did. He said, you're always trying to get it down into one, pick a corner and be trying to get everything down into that corner. You see, I already failed because I put it all in the wrong corner. But you're trying to avoid islands, right? That's the worst thing. You don't want an island. No man is an island, but I'm playing this terribly. I'm embarrassed.
I don't understand the term no man is an island, and I never have. What does it mean? Like, it takes a village? Is that what
That's exactly what it means,
okay,
yeah.
All right. I guess I should have asked somebody, like, 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious. What do you mean you don't understand no man is an island?
Now I do. I just needed confirmation that I was right.
No man is an island.
Yeah.
No woman is an isthmus.
Exactly. That's what I
said,
too.
I see if you were a small child, you could be confused by that. Why, Mommy? Why is no man an island? Why isn't man...
You mean an island like in Hawaii? It just never made sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not good at this.
Takes a village.
There's
well, they should have just said that.
It takes a village is the new one.
I guess so.
It's the new no man is an
sure.
island.
It'd be kind of cool if Hillary Clinton's autobiography was called
No Man is an Island. That now you know why she doesn't call it that. She can't because they would throw her out of the Woman's Guild.
Right. Burn her. Burn her.
She's a witch.
No man is on an island either, apparently. It's just an island.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. It doesn't actually look real. Okay, we're going to move on to a duh tip from Sam. Not Sam the cat, but a human Sam, I think.
You're so pathetic.
Sam says,
so
a few weeks ago when you were talking about...
Not Sam the cat.
You know, those who throw stones should not live
Sam
in.
Not Sam the cat. Actually, we're thinking about getting a cat.
There you go. There you go.
So I'll be a cat lover
I just wanted to clarify in case anyone was like, did your cat, Sam, write a nice little email? No, he's working on it.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's all voice dictation for him. A few weeks ago, says Sam, when you were talking about making iPad kids safe, Leo recommended disabling Safari. But he says in iOS 7, you can also just tell Safari not to let your kids go to inappropriate websites specifically.
That's great.
This feature blocks most bad sites by default.
Great.
And there's a blacklist and a whitelist, too. I wanted to let you know, just so people didn't think they absolutely had to turn off Safari. Got some options in the middle. Yeah, so if there are some websites that are of concern, you can add them to a list and be a little bit more choosier about the types of websites. Yeah, because your kid's probably going to be like, wait a second.
When they're
Let
little.
Let me think of a workaround. Yeah,
when they're little, whitelisting is good. That says they can only use Safari to go to these sites. And you could pick, you know, child-friendly sites. They can't go off those sites.
Right.
And they can only go to those sites.
Yeah.
As they get older, then you flip from whitelisting because they want to see more of the web. They want to do schoolwork and research. You can't whitelist every site on the web. So then you start moving to blacklisting. You say, we don't want them to see a certain kind of content. But for little kids, a whitelist is a great way to go because they don't, they know where they want to go, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got 10 sites or I don't know.
It works with email, too. If you're worried about kids having email, using a whitelist for email means that you can only get mail for mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa.
Mm.
That's a great thing. Then the kid can kind of get used to email and grandma and grandpa can write to the kid. But there's no risk of, you know.
I think I've heard of that, especially in, you know, with younger kids, but who are really used to using computers and tablets in school. Then you'll have like there'll be a little thing where the parents all, you know, you can add the other students,
right?
Because it's something you're communicating about curriculum and, you know, talking to the teacher or whatever.
I think email, it's not a bad thing to get kids used to this. They're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
So
I hate the fact that I feel that way about a little kid in email. Haven't we figured something out better than email?
Well, what I'm hoping is, yes, there won't be email in 10 years. It'll be something better.
But, like, what?
But what?
Yeah. I mean, this is the best we could do from the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah.
But that's not gone away either.
Right.
Although, we'll see.
So, probably is worth getting the kids used to handling email in
exactly.
some way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a protocol that's definitely happening now. All right, we got a voicemail with a request, actually, for an upcoming show guest.
Hey, guys, it's Shepherd Jim from Maine, long-time listener. And I'll point out, I am a listener. I very seldom get to watch the show. I listen while I'm feeding the sheep. Quick idea for a show. Get a music expert on, someone who uses the iPad in their performance and or creating music. There are synthesizers and drum machines, all kinds of stuff. This is fantastic, and I've gone through my 30 seconds. Love the show.
Oh, adios. Thanks.
Shepherd Jim.
Wait a second.
Wow.
There's so many questions I have for him. First of all, he lives in Maine, and that's already like...
Sheep country.
Is it? There are a lot of sheep out there?
Not that I know of.
Okay, well...
But you could have sheep.
Sure, okay.
You could have sheep
anywhere.
And he
says, you know, I don't have time to watch you because I'm feeding my sheep.
You must feed them a lot.
That's when I listen. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, but he's busy. He's using...
Yeah.
So, and I think we have to try to remember there are people who listen.
Yes.
And always, you know, describe
because
visual
you and I
stuff.
Think, I mean, I guess you could listen, but would you want to? And he says, yeah, I like it a lot. I've got sheep, man. I'm busy. So, yes.
Man and a sheep.
We'll do our best to describe these weird games that we play.
But then he raises an excellent point, which is that you and I are not musicians nor artists. And
true.
We try to show you great music stuff, but we don't know.
It always sucks.
We do terrible work.
My app caps really fall flat when I try to wow you with music. So maybe we have, I don't know, maybe we... Maybe
we're gonna,
Steve
I'm
Martin...
I'm introducing a new show. It's the Moby and Lord Show.
What's that?
Moby and Lord.
Oh, Moby and Lord. I see. Okay.
And they're going to host.
Oh.
And they won't be any good at anything else, but they will know the music apps.
Ah, right.
How about that?
That sounds great. Lord is very up and coming, and Moby
is a digital guy.
A digital music veteran.
But I do, maybe we should, we never have guests on this show. Maybe we should once have a musician on and do a whole show.
Yeah.
And he could just, or she could just show us how they use the iPad.
Yeah. Once
Steve Martin, if you're watching,
Steve, Martin,
Steve
we'd love
come
for it
in,
to be
bring
you.
The banjo, bring the iPad.
We would love for it to be you.
It would be great.
You know, we'll have to, you know, have your people call our people.
Yeah.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Well, you know, you guys are like...
He watches the show. He tells me he watches the show.
That's such a lie.
He might show
Steve
up.
Martin?
Yeah.
Steve, please.
No, he watches this show. He watches the tech guy. Actually, he listens. He listens. He's a listener.
Okay, fine.
He told me when he was in Vancouver.
He knows more about music apps than I ever
making
will.
Making that birding movie. Remember that one bird day or special day or whatever?
Okay.
Remember he made a movie about birding? It was a good movie. I liked a bird movie about birding. He was in Vancouver. Movie making, you know, it's a long, slow process. A lot of time where you're just sitting around. And he would listen to the show while he was making the movie.
That's
not awesome. When he was on camera.
Right.
But in between,
like,
in between.
Steve, somehow you're forgetting your line. Shh, listening. Yeah, well.
Scott Wilkinson.
Birding.
The thing is, I don't know. We need to find a person who uses the iPad in composing performance.
Yeah.
Probably what we want is a DJ, right? Somebody who's using it to do his her performances.
I know a few people, actually.
It doesn't have to be a famous person.
Yeah, no. I think we've got some options. Yeah. I'll definitely look into that.
But I'll tell you, Jim, when we start doing the sheep applications, you're number one on the list.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
going right to you.
That's right. It'll be a sheep show. Not next week, but quite soon.
In fact,
quite
Jim,
soon.
I'm just curious. Are there sheep applications on the iPad?
I think that there are.
I bet there are.
There's some sort of counting sheep.
No, apps. I'm thinking...
Oh, you mean like how to raise a sheep?
How to raise a sheep. How to feed... I think when this app has some sheep. Look,
it's very likely.
There you go, right there. That's a sheep app.
But he doesn't. He has real sheep. He doesn't need virtual sheep like the rest of us.
Okay.
You know what? He
sheep launcher. No, he
no,
didn't
we're not.
It.
No,
not
no,
sheep happens.
No. No.
But Find was good at that. It found all the sheep apps.
Good grief, Brian.
What do you call? So you call it when you're raising. flowers horticulture. Mm. When you're doing vegetables, it's agriculture. When you're doing it in water, it's water culture, aquaculture. What do you call it when you're raising sheep?
I think it's also agriculture, right?
Maybe it's just another kind of agriculture.
Because, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not even going to make a guess here because
did you hear that they've,
I don't know.
They've discontinued. I guess when you get bought by Google for $3.2 billion, you don't really have to make your product anymore.
Right.
So the guys at Nest said, you know, we're not going to make that smoke detector anymore. Turns out you could turn it off by waving at it. And who would have thought this? But when there's a fire in the house, people often go, ah! And the smoke detector would stop.
And then they think, oh,
it's over, and they get back in bed.
And then they're
didn't happen
to a crisp.
But they're afraid, so they, instead of fixing it, maybe they'll fix it. I don't think they're going to fix it. I think it's, we don't, yeah, we got $3.2
billion.
This is
a very bad idea. Well, no, they said that they were going to fix it. I thought that's what I heard.
They actually turn it off.
We're totally off the rails right now.
They turned off the feature.
Yeah.
And they can push it, if you're on Wi-Fi, and most of these are, they just push it down the line. And
right.
Suddenly, you can wave at your... Well, it has to do with cooking, because the main reason you want this feature is you have a smoke detector near your kitchen, and you make bacon, and you want to turn it off. And what I do is I just bring my little iPad Today clipboard in, and I go like this.
Mm-hmm.
But really, with the Nest smoke detector, you can just go, this is not the fire you're looking for. And you just, it turns it off. But that turned out it was... They didn't fix it. They just turned it off, Scooter. Scooter X says they fixed it. I think they just turned it off. And they're not selling them anymore.
Well, that's probably a good thing since it doesn't work very well. Because the first thing I do when the smoke alarm goes off is panic and
run around
my house like this.
Exactly.
Because I want it to stop. And so, I'm not even thinking about a fire yet. I'm just like, that's a very loud noise.
Patrick Delahanty says that sheep farming is called sheep farming.
Oh.
He looked it up.
I was never going to get that.
It was on Wikipedia.
Okay. Sheep farming. Sorry, I don't speak your lingo, sheep people of Maine. You know what I do speak, though?
That'd be a good movie. Sheep people of Maine. Do you speak peer-to-peer lending?
I would like to be better at it.
Okay.
I like it when people lend things to me.
You know, in this world, there are two kinds of people.
Right.
People who need money, want to borrow money. People who have money to borrow, but to lend. Wouldn't it be cool if we could just bring those two people together, do peer what we'd call peer-to-peer lending, just eliminate the middleman, just boom. That's what Prosper does. This is Silicon Valley's answer to the loan system, peer-to-peer lending. What would you do if you knew within 72 hours you could have $35,000? Would you pay off high rate credit cards? Would you do a home improvement project? Would you widen the doors of your house? What would you do?
I mean, who does that ever? Are you doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been getting stuck a lot lately.
I was going to say, is that a thing that people do?
No, it's not a thing yet.
You know what I would like to do? Widen my doors.
If I keep making my own homemade mayonnaise, it might be.
Maybe.
Anyway, if you need money and you got a great project you'd like to do, maybe even start a business, you got to go to Prosper.com. Prosper.com is Silicon Valley's answer to personal loans. With their innovative peer-to-peer lending process, there are no outrageous fees. There's no rising interest rates. You'll never set foot in a bank. 2 million people now. Lenders and borrowers. Over $900 million in funded loans. This is not a flash in the pan. This is great. So here's what you do. Go to prosper.com/twit. You could check your rate right away. Just fill out a form, some basic information. You'll get your credit. Your rate without affecting your credit score. And I like that. For a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/twit. That's a special site just for our viewers. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days and a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. Prosper.com, not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, visit prosper.com/twit. People point out that there's a bank, you know, at the bottom of the webpage. It's the loans are, you know, handled through a bank. And that's because of the laws in the United States. You have to do it this way. But it is. But it's basically a system that brings people together. But you do have to have a bank. But that should reassure you. It makes it all up and on the up and up and legal and all that stuff. It's really a great idea. Prosper.com/twit.
Well, we got an email from somebody who is tired of us speaking ill about Candy Crush and its ilk.
There's an addict right there.
I was listening to the most recent iPad Today, and you brought up Candy Crush again.
Yeah.
As you have on many of your shows for months and months now.
Yeah.
Number one, I just think you're kind of misled on the whole saga. Number one.
Yeah.
I do not have a Facebook account, so there's nothing that I ever have to share or ask for.
Okay, but a lot of people do.
Number two.
Yeah.
I've never paid for anything in Candy Crush. It has always been a 100% free game for me. And number three, I'm on level 200.
Wow.
And it's still very enjoyable, probably because of the preset time limits. Never gets old from playing too much. I just think the things that you've heard about the game may have been misleading you.
I'm downloading it right now. I'm so excited. For some reason, I got the misapprehension that you had to use Facebook, that you would get to points in the game like that tough level 99. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you'd have to get extra lives from your friends.
I was under the impression that you needed a Facebook account. I knew that you didn't have to spam your friends' timelines or that sort of thing.
But, you know,
but that,
by the way,
that was also my impression.
Somebody keeps... I have a number of people. You know these people.
I do.
They worked at Tech TV who frequently... like every day on Facebook.
Oh, like William Vu?
William Vu. Vu is one of them. Yeah. An invitation to join Candy Crush on my Facebook timeline.
Yeah. It's never going to happen.
I don't understand.
We're never going to do that with each other.
Yeah. But I guess what you get extra lives.
You definitely get.
But this person's really good at this.
Well, sure.
Perhaps.
But she's also like, hey, man, I'm putting in the effort and I don't want to hear about how it's so awful and spammy because it doesn't have to be.
Every day, let me just see who's asked me to join them on. Jeff Nickerson, Marla Schulman, and Carolyn Kane.
Ah, wonderful.
Stop playing Candy Crush Saga.
You guys, or just, you know, keep it to yourselves.
So,
really?
You understand where we get the misapprehension that you need to do this. So I'm going to play it. So I am not going to give them any money. I am not going to join Facebook.
Nope.
I'm just going to play.
You're just going to play, and you're going to have the best time ever.
Connect. No.
No.
No thanks. No.
No.
Play. Well, this is a silly game.
Are you telling me you've never played Candy Crush before?
But wait a minute. Should I connect? No.
No.
Swipe this candy like this. All right.
This is kind of exciting because you know what's about to happen, right? You guys know what's happening.
What?
Well, you're about to get addicted to Candy Crush.
Well, it's sort of fun. It's just bejeweled.
Well, and they have fun little, like, voice. Little, yeah.
You know what? I like how shiny the candy is.
Yes.
It makes you just feel like you're getting a sugar high.
It makes you feel good. Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a good game. Oh.
See, now you're starting to do well.
Oh, wonderful. Ah, 3 stars.
Now don't connect with Facebook.
But it doesn't.
I know
it's
you
got
want to tell everybody.
For my picture.
You want to tell everybody how good you're doing, see? You don't have to do that, Jeff Nickerson. My God. Can you imagine?
Now what? Oh, look, the little monkey. That's me.
You're going to the next level.
I would
Candy
like
Crusher.
My... Sure, I...
Nope, yeah. You don't want to hit that. No, okay. You just want to play. That's right. Yep. Try to match 4 candies.
This is such an easy game. Of course, she's absolutely... Wait a minute, I got a special candy.
You might get a special candy.
What do I do with that now,
well,
Mr. Candy Crush?
If you match that, then you get a line blast.
But that, how does that match that? There's striped.
Well, you match it with the other colors. Think about what you're doing. This isn't rocket science. All right.
Seems like kind of a slow game.
Sweet.
It is sweet.
That's why so many people like it.
Why?
Most people don't like the kind of games.
Is there a
that
timer? Is there a timer?
Yeah, you need to, you know, you got to play more.
Is
you're
it
still
like,
at the very beginning.
Does it get harder?
Yeah.
What is over here? What does that mean? This stuff. What does that mean?
What do you
so
mean?
There's no timer. I just can sit here forever? Well, that's... Oh, it even gave me a hint. It's so easy. They're absolutely right. This is completely harmless. Why would you pay money? Oh, What happened there? That was... Ooh. Maybe I should just...
No, you don't want to hit... No.
Okay.
Stay off of Facebook. That's... and so on.
And on and on. 99 is hard.
It's very pink and very, you know, shiny and...
Don't you find that guy a little scary, though?
I don't think he's scary. I think it's supposed to be, you know, it's like...
pleasant.
It's like you're in a,
try
you know,
a T or a L-shaped
a candy match. World, a candy world.
Oh, see, I got a special candy.
You can't make it make lots of candy.
I can make lots of candy?
Mm-hmm.
Tasty.
Tasty. I don't know. I think this could... So this company, by the way, had their initial public offering, went on the stock market this week, and went down,
yeah.
Not up. Now, Facebook went up, Twitter went up, but this company went down.
King,
and some people think it's a sign, well, maybe that the stock market bubble is over for tech companies. More likely that people realize that this is a one-hit wonder company, right?
Well, look at Zynga. It's a lot of these games just, there's only so long... like you're saying, is this really the game?
And they don't have a second game.
So right.
What are they going to, you know, introduce Sheep Crush Challenge?
Is what we like go public for?
Right.
This
right.
specifically? Like, there's got to be more to it, right?
Right. Well,
so,
one would think.
So, yeah,
I got a sugar crush.
That's the deal. You know, there's another app that Scott, who calls himself a tennis pro from Charlotte, North Carolina, sent in. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. I'm not positive. But he said, I just downloaded a new app I think you should check out. It's called Flexi. It's a typing app that allows you to type without looking at the screen.
Flexi.
Now, Scott says it's way better than iOS's autocorrect. And I mean, that isn't even saying much because autocorrect is so, so bad. That's me talking now, not Scott. Scott says they need more apps that allow them to type in. Because Flexi, obviously, it's a standalone app, and so you want the keyboard to be able to use other apps. But he says, I'm sure that will come. I'm new to technology. I owe a lot of my knowledge to Twit.
Thank you.
It all started when I found MacBook Weekly, blah, blah, blah. Okay,
I wouldn't be sure that it's going to come because Apple doesn't really want anybody else to make
keyboards
for the Mac and for the iPad.
Here's the deal with Flexi, and I'm a little bit... skeptical that this is actually like the keyboard that I want. Now, here's what you're supposed to do.
Now, you can only do this in the app. You can't do this with Apple keyboard throughout
the... However, if you do connect to the apps with Flexi feature, you can see that there are
other apps support it.
Yeah. Launch Center Pro, I think, is the only of these. I looked at this list earlier that I actually have on my iPad that I try to use with some regularity. Doodle Plus I've got and a couple others.
Do you do
others.
A lot of typing in Doodle Plus?
No.
Okay.
No,
just
I
checking.
Don't. No, I don't. But the idea behind Flexi is, so I'll just go ahead and let's see the settings. If the tutorial I had to look at a couple times because I didn't really get it. To space, flick right. Okay, so you do this. Flick down to change the suggestion. Also works with punctuation. Add punctuation, flicking right twice.
Oh, this is too complicated. I can't.
Okay, well, hold on.
Is there candy?
No. Okay, so Sarah, so I'm flicking right. So I see that there are some other options. Oh. So this is a whole, like, it's almost gesture-based typing. You're right, Leo. This is not some trivial learning curve. This is kind of, like...
Wow.
...difficult.
Right.
What's up? And you can see... Okay, wait. It said flick right for punctuation, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's... Or no, flick down for punctuation.
It's very...
So now what? See, but I can see that there's like there.
It's very frustrating.
Well, no, I'm sure.
What is this, a game?
Is
this a torture?
No.
What?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Oh.
So look. Oh, wait. Okay.
Oh.
All right. So.
Flexi.
No.
Dang you, Flexi.
Hard.
Why does typing have to be so hard?
Oh, I'm getting it. So
Shag.
The deal is.
What?
It's
what
like,
that a farware shag?
Look,
what is it suggesting?
Look, this is basically, I wrote the word what.
And why would you place shag right after what?
Because it's a four-letter word that I might have been meaning to type.
Because it was close
based on predictive text, basically.
Got it.
If I'm like, no, that's not right.
So
that's
it's not
what
guessing what the next word will be. It's still trying to figure out what the first word is.
Okay. Your. Well, see, that's dumb. I don't like this app. This is
from
too much.
Grin Grim Dum Drum
Trim. Afar trim your, sir.
What are you typing?
Well, I was just playing with it.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Doesn't SwiftKey have a... didn't they make an app for the...
Oh, that's what it is. SwiftKey, yeah.
I like SwiftKey.
That's what we've talked about on the... Yeah. On the
So forget Flexi. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that this is not an app that you should use, but trying to sort of get used to it.
I think you get the idea
I think you've got some work to do here.
Now, SwiftKey has been around for a long time on the Android side. It is
okay, I'm
probably
starting to get this a little bit.
A far trim for? Can I show you SwiftKey? Because it really is a better...
Yes, please do.
So SwiftKey's been around for a long time on the Android platform. Now, it has the same problem as Flexi. You can't replace the Apple keyboard on the iPad. So what they give you is a note program, which you can connect to Evernote. I won't do that right now just to save time. And, you know, I think this...
Oh, and it just types for you.
Yeah. Well, sort of. It has a better prediction algorithm. What the other thing that's great about SwiftKey... this is the tutorial, obviously. The other thing that's great about SwiftKey is it will go through your, at least on the Android side, go through your existing emails, your messages, and learn your style so that these vocabulary suggestions are actually based on what you type a lot of.
Yeah.
And it gets better and better. And they've actually gotten better and better at doing this. Let me just skip through the tutorial here. You know, let's quit the tutorial. And create a new note here. And this, so I've typed this, and then I just do space. And then see, is a logical next thing. So I don't have to, well, look at that. A great time. You see, that's what I thought Flexi was doing, recommending the next logical word. Let's see. Let's take a real thing. Like, so it was the, I'm going to do, it was the best of times. Best, didn't predict that. So best of times. So about half the words it predicts. It was the worst of. It hasn't learned yet, but eventually it will learn what I want to do. I really like SwiftKey. If you use Evernote, this might be a fast, and do a lot of text typing might be a faster way. But you're really hobbled in, frankly, in the iOS world, because Apple says it's our keyboard, that's the only keyboard, and no other company is allowed to replace the Apple keyboard. They can only do it within an application.
Yes. Agreed. So, you know, Scott, the tennis pro from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're probably super good on Flexi. I'm just saying, it's a little tough for me, but that's also because I am not very bright. So.
I couldn't figure it out. I was...
I
guess once you learn the gestures.
It's the gestures that are, for me, not intuitive. So I was typing like a two-month-old baby. All right. We love hearing from all of you. Even if you suggest apps that end up not being perfect for us, they might be perfect for somebody else. And that's what
we're
point
here for.
Is all about.
Exactly.
Write us at iPadToday at twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail, 757-504-IPAD. AKA 4723. Question, comment, whatever. Just talk to us. Communicate, or we'll never get past this. All right, time for the AppCap Awards. This is a part
Don
of
your
the show.
Hat, Sarah Lane.
Holy crap, this is the largest hat I may have ever worn on this show.
Hello.
Hey, pretty mama.
You know, it's a big hat, isn't it?
It's very large.
You know, I've told you the story of that hat before.
No.
I was going to see Charlie Daniels band.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Heil, who's a friend of Charlie Daniels, had arranged a little backstage visit.
Oh, howdy.
But Bob told me, now you got to get a cowboy hat. I said, well, Bob, no problem. I've got a 10-gallon hat. I'm wearing it right now. He said, no, you don't understand.
I'm wearing this like I'm at the beach or something.
Charlie's known for his giant hats. You got to get a big hat. So that's the big hat I got.
It's
Really, it's pretty big.
It fits your head.
It was dwarfed by Charlie Daniels' hat. It literally is half the size
really?
Of the hat he was wearing.
See, this is the kind of hat I like because your hat is like stylish Stetson.
It's literally a Stetson. No, yeah. I'm sorry, it's an Eddie.
Okay, well,
but it's the same idea. It's
same
a 10-gallon hat, classic cowboy
right.
hat.
Right, this is like, it's like full shade. It's an umbrella. You can store you food can, up here.
There he is. See, that's Charlie Daniels. That hat is huge.
That's a big hat. You're
so,
right.
You could, if it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, you could get in that thing and sail away. It's
That's
like
right.
a boat.
It's an ark.
It's an ark.
It'll save you. It's an earthquake kit. It's everything. Anyway, this is part of the show where Leo and I talk about two apps that we think are cool and that you might like as well. And my app this week is, as I alluded to earlier, it's all about space.
Space.
It's called Solar Walk.
The final frontier.
This is $10.
Solar Walk.
Solar Walk.
I thought you were going to talk about Star Walk, which I'm a
no.
maybe it's the same people.
This is different. This is Solar Walk. This is definitely not my app.
That's my app.
Your app audio. Will you turn off Leo's app audio for the love?
You finally did plug-in audio.
Okay. I did. This is just, you know, Yeah. It's not really about this. So, look, you know, this is my solar system, right? This is our solar system. Here's Earth, where we are. Here's the sun.
Okay, problem one. What? The Earth is a lot smaller than the sun.
Well, but we're closer to the Earth.
Oh.
See?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, when you get to the sun.
That is neat. Look at that.
Yeah, then you start going like, well, wait a second.
Gosh,
like,
that's pretty.
How is everything relative to the sun? You know, you've got these kind of, like, cool shadows and everything, but this is not just everything that you do. But let's just say, well, you know, I've always been really interested in Mercury, for example. You know, it's so close to the sun.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
small.
Yeah, right. It's hot. It's small.
Sweaty.
There's more about Mercury that I would like to know.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and, you know, you can look at actual satellite images of the surface of Mercury.
Wow.
Variety
That's beautiful.
Of figures. Yeah, it's kind of cool. You can see, you know, this is, again, one of those apps that it's really good as a learning tool. But also, if you've got a kid or even you're an adult who just, you know, is just really into science and particularly
space.
And you want to put the, yeah, you want to put this in front of your, you know, niece or nephew when they come over and just say, hey, why don't you play with this for half an hour and come back and tell me some things about Neptune that I didn't know? You know, kids love doing that. I think that it would be such a great, like, babysitter's tool or that type of thing. You don't want to actually interact with children. You want to give them other things to interact with so that you don't have to. Internal structure of Mercury, for example. Ooh,
what's it made out of?
Let's
chocolate?
See more about the inside of Mercury. Surrounding the core is 500 to 700 kilometers mantle consisting of silicates.
Oh, silicates.
Yeah. Mm. Kind of neat. Mm. All right, so that's, you know, that's Mercury. Let's get out of here now. Ooh, how do I get out of here?
You can't. That's the problem with Mercury.
Then you're just in here forever?
Once you check in, you can't check out.
Yeah, you're burned, basically. Mm-hmm. You've been burned, sir. You can change your coordinates on the map, of course. You can go ahead and reorient yourself. But, and this is our solar system, right?
Don't forget where you parked.
Yeah, you got Saturn. Pluto's out there, but Pluto, the sad little exoplanet.
Sad. That's a good children's book, Pluto, the sad little exoplanet. I think you should write that, Sarah.
Now, Leo, do you remember what year Pluto was first discovered?
No.
Because... I believe it was 1931, am I right?
It was when I was in third grade. That's amazing.
Yeah, there you go. 1930, sorry.
30.
I was second
grade.
I was close. But that's just kind of fun. It's just fun little trivia. You know, Pluto, of course, doesn't have as many images as something like Mercury because it's way the heck out there. But
I don't think you could take a picture of Pluto.
Well, I think
it doesn't show up.
An educated guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's as big as it gets?
Well, no, it gets quite a bit bigger.
Can you get closer to Pluto?
I just did that. You were too busy playing with your dumb app.
Now I'm getting ready for my...
And not paying attention to my cool app, even though I have the floor. And then, of course, you know, you can read about the sun. I don't know. I found this... This reminds me of everything that I would have wanted to have when I was... forced to study the planets in school and never thought that they were all that exciting.
Oh, but when you see them like that, though, as beautiful
as that. That's what, yeah. I mean, I just, this is the way to do it. And of course, there's a variety of settings. You can see a variety, you know, you can add some extras. There's a shop if you want to buy a variety of like satellite imagery type things, if you're really getting into this. But in general, you know, again, it's $10. It's not for everybody, but I think if you've got a kid who's on the cusp of really getting into astronomy and just kind of facts and trivia about our solar system, this is just a fun way to start. Yeah.
Solar walk.
Yeah.
That's not part of it. Beautiful. $2.99. There are a lot.
$9.99.
Ooh.
Oh wait.
It says $2.99.
Why did I say $9.99? Oh, that's wonderful. It's on sale.
Is that the iPhone version? Click the iPad button. Suddenly, it's
$2.99. Brian, you're always showing us the iPhone version of this.
Same price.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's $3. Sorry. Yeah. Never mind.
That's good. You know what isn't?
What?
Free?
What?
Candy Crush Saga. It wants 99 cents. It says,
what?
I only need one more jelly. Play on for 99 cents or give up. I guess I'll give up. What is that? I mean,
I think you just have to start over on the level.
Like on level one?
You just retry. You retry level 7.
Oh, well, that's not so bad. So you can keep playing.
See, they confuse you, though, because you're like, I don't want to give up.
I wanted to give them some money.
Yeah, I don't want to give up and start at one.
Give up? What's this give up?
Never we don't give up. We're Laporte's.
So we've talked about this program before, but I am so pleased that there is finally, not cheap, an iPad version of, in my opinion, the best calendar program for the iPad. Fantastical.
Oh, I love it.
I wonder what happens. I haven't tried this yet. When you turn it this way. Oh, it works.
Oh, yeah.
In portrait or in landscape.
Of course,
you're going to want to use it in landscape. In fact, one of the things that people didn't like about the iOS 7 calendar is it didn't do landscape. I think it does now, right? But this is a really great calendar application. It's intuitive, too. So there's three ways you can use it. I'm using the full month, or rather full page showing a week. You can also scroll it down here. You can see the month. Jump to any day. Tap tap this up here, and it'll take you to today. Tap and hold. It's got a picker. You can go to any day, any year, very easily, very quickly. I really like that. This will pick up your calendar, of course, from iCloud. I use Google Calendar, so iCloud will pick that up as well. You can have time zone support off or on. It's a little bright. Let me turn down the brightness so you can see that a little bit better on the TV. There you go. Time zone support. App icon badge can show a variety of things. Now, this is one thing that only Apple's calendar can show the date. But since you can get a badge, you know, that usually that says how many unopened mails you have or how many messages you have.
Yeah.
But that badge can do the date, which is nice because then it's tiny, but you can at least see the date on the badge there like that. That's the closest we can get with Apple. You could choose a light theme or a dark theme. I kind of like the dark theme. All the features you'd want in a calendar, very powerful. You can open locations in Maps if you want, or choose Waze or Google Maps. It has a very nice notification system, including, you know, letting you know when you've got a calendar event coming up here. I'm really thrilled. Let's add my location. I'm really thrilled to see this available officially now on the iPad. We were using the iPhone app for the longest time.
Yeah, and you know, a few weeks ago, you said, isn't it available on the iPad? And I went, yeah, because I was using the iPhone app and it was fine.
It's still not. It just came out.
It never really occurred to me that it wasn't an iPad native app, but this is a whole nother level.
Oh, I love it. And a little expensive, I gotta say. Unfortunately, it's $10.
That's why I got these two confused.
This is $10.
This is $10. Yeah.
And I think that's a lot, frankly, especially since you have a very good calendar with the iPad. But it's a kind of a basic calendar. I don't want to really change any events. Let's cancel out of this. I don't want to change what time Mac Break Weekly is on. Really, I think very, very nicely done. By the way, the to-do list is on here as well. I need eggs.
And that syncs with, your
everything.
iOS reminders.
That's right.
Too.
That's right.
So, and that's one of the things that some other calendar or reminders apps don't do. And I think, now that I have that functionality in Fantastical, It also parses really well. Yeah, when you say lunch with Sarah,
see, Sarah lunch.
Fantastical will automatically be like, oh, your lunch starts at noon, because that's a lunchtime, right?
Right.
Or if you, you know, type in 2 p.m., you don't have to worry about scrolling afterwards and fixing the time later. And that,
yeah.
I think that that really makes a difference.
It's very nice. Fantastical. Finally out for iPad. And I know it's $10, but gosh, it's just, it's so functional, so useful. I just have to recommend it. That's my app cap for the day.
I like it.
Yeah.
Before we go, I know some of you are having meltdowns right now because I called Pluto an exoplanet. Dwarf planet, I believe, is the correct term. Dwarf planet. Little Pluto, the sad dwarf planet, will be the next children's book that I write. And I hope you all buy it.
They don't like to be called dwarf planets. They prefer exoplanets.
So you're okay. Little planets.
Little planets.
Little planets, yes. With big personalities. Mm. Just kind of cold, you know? But thanks, everybody, for watching this episode of iPad Today, episode 194. The March 200 continues on. We're like Khaleesi and her army. We just
the
keep...
The mother of dragons,
we
baby.
We just keep getting freeing slaves.
You know, those dragons are going to be trouble. I can see it already.
You can't tame a dragon.
You can't. He told her, Khaleesi, you can't tame a dragon.
And she says,
pshaw.
She says, beep,
pshaw. Let's go get that town over there.
Yeah, yeah. How many miles is it? Mm-mm. We're doing it.
By the way, do you know what that dragon was eating?
I do.
A sheep.
That's not nice. There are people that don't know what we're talking about. This is not a show of spoilers. Mother of spoilers. That's what I feel like your name should be.
I am.
That's actually kind of a funny shirt.
I
want to
be the mother of spoilers.
Mother of spoilers. That's funny. Mm-hmm. I have so many good ideas. Okay, thanks everybody for watching this episode of iPad Today. See you next week.
Bye-bye.